Father, we thank you, Lord, and give you glory and honor. Praise God. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, the power and the glory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, O Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power, and in thy hand is might. In thy hand it is to heal, in thy hand it is to deliver, it is thy hand to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine in our hearts today. Glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's talk about prophetic birth pains. That's right. Travailing before triumph. And what's that all about? Well, many who are women who have had children, they understand the travail that comes before, just before childbirth. I understand it as birth pains. Well, I want to talk about spiritual and prophetic birth pains. And let's see what the Lord will have to talk to us about. Again, this is another lesson in resilience, spiritual resilience, building spiritual capacity, from some of the things that we have to endure. We look at different dimensions. We're going to look at the spiritual, of course. I'm going to look at the physical. And let's see what the Lord will have for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the book of Revelation, we're going to start there. Chapter 12, we see a story that unfolds. It said, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Upon her head, a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. So that's where we're getting the phrase birth pains from. I mean, she was with child. She cried. She travailed in birth. She was travailing. A painful process. She pained to be delivered. Wow. Let's think about that for a bit. Some of us men, we can't even stand the sight to see our wives go through that. But the women, in childbearing, they have experienced it firsthand. Every woman who has had a child knows what this is all about. They go through a lot of stuff for many, many months, ups and downs. Some days they're feeling good. Some days they have so-called morning sickness, and it's up and down all over the place. Some days maybe the feet will swell, some swelling in the body, this and that, pain here and there, but they keep going on because they know that, it's only for a time. Looking forward to, that glorious day when they will give birth to that child, and then of course, when the days get closer, to the day that they should deliver, sometimes things actually get worse. It becomes unbearable. And, God have put that pain in the body to help them push it out. Sometimes when they suppress that pain too much, with epidurals and so forth. You know, they can't even feel their nerves anymore. They might not be able to push. And God allows, you know, all those things there, the pain and everything. And that's like the scripture says, she was travailing in birth, you know, travailing, groaning, trying to get that baby out, push that baby out. She pained. It was a very painful process. Well, you know, but she doesn't give up. Sometimes they want to almost give up, but they know they can't. They got to bring forth that baby somehow, you know. And Jesus was talking about this as well, you know, in the book of John chapter 16. He was explaining something about, you know, this process, you know, how sometimes it could be very, very painful. But, you know, the focus the woman has is not too much, or shouldn't be too much on the pain. I mean, she's looking forward to bringing that baby forth. You know, here's what Jesus said. You know, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," John chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. John chapter 16, verse 20. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." So Jesus already prophesied that there may be sorrow, but that sorrow will be turned into joy. And there are some things that can be sorrowful. And he goes on to explain, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because of the pain, you know, and all the discomfort. You know, sometimes they can't sit down, you know, they can't stand up, can't bend down. You know, sit on one kind of chair, it's not comfortable, find another one, it's not comfortable. I mean, it's just like on and on and on. There's a lot of pain sometimes. But Jesus said, well, she's in pain, especially when her hour is drawing near to be delivered. It's a tremendous pain that can come upon them at times. You know, birth pains that can come in there. And, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, woo-hoo, then she remembereth no more the anguish, because of joy that a man is born into the world. You know, so the pain of a high degree is called anguish, and the sorrow she went through. And Jesus said, "Ye now therefore have sorrow." Now, just because Jesus said they were going away and so forth, they were sorrowful. But, you know, he said, you know, your joy is coming. Praise the Lord. You know, I'll see you again. Your heart shall rejoice. And your joy, no man taketh from you. Listen to that. You know, your joy, no one can take from you. But leading up to the joy, well, there can be a lot of pain. You know, why does the birth of a child, you know, have to be so painful? You know, why does a woman have to go through 9 months of pain and travail, you know, and all that stuff? Well, you know, that's what we want to talk about today. The birthing of a child typifies many of life's struggles. And God often uses that process, you know, a process of traveling to bring forth some tremendous triumph and some tremendous joy. You know, we're going to be talking about that. Nothing you didn't already know, just to bring a reminder. You know, and why is the Lord doing all this? You know, because the coming of the Lord is near. And we need a people's mind to be stable. You know, sometimes when there's too much distress, we don't even have opportunity to focus on the coming of the Lord. So God wants us to be settled in our mind, so that we can focus on that which is, you know, critical, the things that are uppermost. That's why God's given us all these encouragements. You know, settle those in your heart. You know, Jesus said that himself, you know, settle that already in your heart. When you see all these things happening, well, worry about it. But you said, lift up your head. Your redemption is coming near. But some things must happen. It's always a, you know, a journey, a story before that promised land. But a lot of people died. In fact, majority, most, in fact, all the older generation that came out of that place perished in the promised, in the wilderness. They didn't make it. Well, we don't want to die in the wilderness. We're going to get to the promised land. That's what God promised us. But along the way, that's a spiritual journey. There's going to be a lot of pain. Well, physically also, a lot of pain. Trying to bring forth that child. And then all other things that God has promised. Sometimes a painful process, you know, that we must go through. But here are some scriptures to encourage us when we're going through, you know, the situations at hand. You know, the when it is just around the corner, when that baby is just around the corner, that can be some of the most painful moments in that whole journey of from conception to bringing forth. It can be really painful, you know, so. But here's what the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read verses 35 and 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and not tarry. So this is all about, you know, the coming of the Lord. But there's a lot of things we must go through to get there. And any other promise too that the Lord gives us along the way, there's a lot of things that we must go through to get to that promise. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 talks about the struggles that we must go through many times. You know, say the God of all grace will call us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ after that you have suffered a while. Well, after all those birth pains and travail and so forth. Well, bring forth something of joy, a bundle of joy, people call it sometimes. You know, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. But first, you must suffer a while. Well, why must we suffer? You know, God had designed it that way. And that's those, some of those sufferings and those pains, they make us stronger. Praise the Lord. We'll be getting into that in more detail in the book of Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. You know, it says, look, you know, let me read it from verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, you know, this was Derby where they went to and so forth, you know, and I taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, now that's must, not that we may, but we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I mean, the entrance to the kingdom of God, well, the road towards it is through a lot of tribulation, a lot of, you know, distress and challenges and so forth along the way. Try to discourage us, discourage you, make sure you don't get in there. But you got to hold on. Praise the Lord. There are examples, you know, of people who have gone through a lot of things. They had to go through even promises that God gave. They went through a lot. You know, we're told in the Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, you know, it says, you know, that those who have gone ahead of us, they went through a lot of things to get to where they needed to be. He said that ye be not slothful. Okay, well, let me read it from verse 10 to verse 12. That's what I want to read of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 6, sorry. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, and that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, patience, well, absolutely. You know, the sometimes the things that we go through, you know, they help to develop stamina and spiritual capacity and patience. You know, we have to be patient in tribulation, the scripture says. We're going to read some more scriptures, you know, that help us to see that, yes, God has promised it. And we're going to get there, but, you know, there may be a lot of pain in the process. Hebrews chapter 10, we just read that. Let me read another, we just read from Hebrews chapter 6. We read Hebrews chapter 10, 36 later on, but let me read a little more context. In that Hebrews, to see that patience is a necessary virtue, and we must understand the struggles and the pain that come sometime. You know, for ye have need of patience. We'll emphasize that. After you've done the will of God. Well, why not before? You know, why not before you have suffered a while? Why do you have to go through all those things? You know, Jesus himself said it. There was a story in Luke chapter 24. After the, you know, death and resurrection of Jesus, there were a couple of disciples who were told that they were on their way to a place called Emmaus. And as they went, they were discussing about all the things that just happened and so forth, you know, to the Christ. And suddenly, Jesus joined himself to them from nowhere. And as they journeyed along, they were talking about these things. They said, well, all these things. Jesus said, what things? They started to, ask him, are you new here? Don't you know all these things that have happened? You know, these last days? They said, what things? So they began to tell him, well, Jesus of Nazareth was a mighty prophet, they said, indeed and word, and before God and all the people. And all the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. They crucified him. But we thought that it would have been him that should have delivered us. And beside all this, this is the third day since these things are done, you know, and so on. And they began to tell him, you know, some of our folks went there to look for him. They couldn't find his body. And, you know, they saw all these things. And they were troubled. And Jesus said, oh, fools. Luke 24 and verse 25. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Listen to this profound statement that he makes. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Basically, Jesus is saying the road to his glory was through those sufferings. He said, look, you remember that Jesus himself said, no disciple is above the master. You know, if the master went through a lot in order to get to his glory, well, we must also go through a lot in order to get to the perfection or anything that the Lord is doing for us. Luke chapter 6 verse 40, the disciple is not above the master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. If the master went through all those things to get into his glory, Jesus basically said the road through glory was sufferings. His sufferings, you know, and that's how he got his glory. Well, there are some things that we must suffer to get glory. Consider even those who are in mining. Did you know that God's rarest metals are buried deep, deep, deep in the ground? The stones that you find on the surface of the ground, those are not precious stones. They're common stones. I mean, nobody cares too much. I mean, sometimes they can use them for gravel and stuff, but you know, everybody can trample them under. They don't really mean too much. But to get to the rare metals and the precious stones, you'll do a lot of digging, sometimes on dynamiting, sometimes, you know, some explosions and different things. Sometimes months, sometimes years of exploration to get there. And even when they get that stuff out of there, finally, they'll put it through thousands of degrees of, you know, heated furnace of fire. Purify all that, burn all that out before the thing can shine and the luster can come forth like that. A lot of pain. It's called the refiner's fire. The book of Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Talks about God using this process, you know, to purify us. You know, he called it the refiner's fire. Praise God. Who may abide the day of his coming? In fact, let me read it from verse 1. Behold, this is Malachi 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Well, came the first time, it's coming again. You know, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? Well, it's like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness that's acceptable before the Lord. That's right. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant, ha, unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years, after they've gone through the purging and the fire, then your sacrifice and your offering will be pleasant to the Lord. He uses, you know, some of those painful things, you know, to get us to where he really wants us to be. You know, even grapes, you know, in order to bring forth the juice, must be put through what is called the wine press. Put a lot of pressure on that thing. Let's get the juice out of it. You know, different things that we must pass through. The book of Job, chapter 23. This man, we know his story. He passed through a lot of things. You know, and you know, we learned a lot. But talking about, you know, coming forth as gold, here's what he said in Job 23 and verse 10. The Lord knoweth the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, so those trials and different things were designed to make him come forth as gold. You know, we've got to come through a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. You know, and yeah, some of the greatest people and stories that we read in the Bible, their stories, you know, their journeys depict a lot of much trial and sufferings before they emerged into greatness. You know, there's so many stories that we've heard and read. Consider the story of Moses. There's a lot of things he went through in his life. Some things that he didn't even know from the time that he was born. His life was in jeopardy. You know how his mother had to, you know, to avoid the child being killed. Because there was a law given to kill all the male children so that the tribe of Israel would not keep multiplying. How the mother stowed him away for a few months, and when she couldn't hide him anymore, you know, wrapped him up and put him in a basket, put him on the River Nile, sent his sister after him to watch. Act of desperation. The little boy's life was in danger the whole time. All the things he went through, even when he started coming into a grown man and started understanding that, well, I don't think this injustice is right, and so forth. All that he went through, God had something intended for him, but he spent many years, you know, people don't really realize all the years that Moses spent in the wilderness. You know, he himself, first of all, spent 40 years by himself before he would spend it again, another 40 or so, with the children of Israel. A lot of years, you know, get to the place. And even at the end, unfortunately, he didn't get there because of something that went wrong along the way. But there was a lot of travail. Many things they had to pass through, you know. We read on the other day the story of Anna. You know, Anna, she was barren for a long time and she went through a lot of distress. You know, we read that yesterday or the other day when we're talking about vowing a vow and keeping it. But what she went through before she could get that child was a lot. But the child turned out to be a great child, you know. All these problems that people go through, many times they end up bringing forth something tremendous and something great. Samuel was a great prophet. His mother suffered many things before she could have a child. John the Baptist was a great prophet. In fact, Jesus called him the greatest, you know, of all the prophets, he said, and of people born of women, he said, none, you know, greater than John the Baptist. You know, he said, what went you out for to see? He spoke very highly of John the Baptist. But yet, his mother suffered many years of being barren and discouragement before she eventually had that one. You know, I mean, we've talked about this story of Joseph, you know, all the things he went through, on and on and on and on, you know, and before he could achieve that greatness, all the things, incredible suffering for many years that he had to go through. What about Jesus himself? I mean, Jesus was already, before the world began, destined for greatness. You know, he was the prince, to be the prince of the kings of all the earth. He was to inherit all things, but in order to get there, had to suffer a lot of stuff, you know. And we don't, it seems like sometimes when there is just greatness, I mean, there's greatness in our future just around the corner, there's all kinds of trouble that can break forth. That's what we're calling the birth pains, just before something glorious happens, tremendous birth pain that people may experience. You know, when you are on the journey, just before you get to the other side, there might be tremendous storms that will come against that boat to try to cause it to capsize and destroy all the lives of the people in there. You know, so we've got to recognize that these things, when you see them happening, this is what I'm trying to say today, and it tells you that the more the pressure that you see or are starting to experience, then you should realize that the blessing is even closer. It's just around the corner. It's the same thing as a woman. You know, when the pain gets almost unbearable, it's just the birth of that child is just right around the corner. You know, so all the things that we may be going through like that. Same thing spiritually. You know, spiritually, the body of Christ has been going through a lot. In fact, the scripture says the spirit of the Antichrist system that's been working. So, well, there are already many Antichrists. The mystery of iniquity was working already. So he's going to wear out the saints. When you look now, it's almost like that's the case. I mean, everywhere you turn, there is tremendous pressure, sometimes suffering, afflictions, loss of this and that, pain, sickness, this and that, all kinds of things happening. We speak the word of encouragement all the time to try to get, you know, keep you going and so forth, but we realize that there's just a lot that's going on. Well, I want you to also realize today that sure, those things are going on, but the blessing is just around the corner. And sometimes, you know, people give up, you know, when the blessing is just around the corner. That's when they completely give up. There's a story in Exodus chapter 15. After they crossed the Red Sea and they ran into all kinds of difficulties, no water at first. And then when they found the water, it was bitter and all of that. And they just kept complaining and grumbling. Yet, they were very close to some relief. And it was the closer they got to that relief, unfortunately, the more they grumbled in their case. In Exodus chapter 15, we read when the Lord was telling them, you know, that, you know, he will heal everything. You know, you can read the whole of Exodus 15, the victory they had, the songs, you know, that they sang, you know, everything Moses sang, they all sang, Lord is my strength, my salvation, prepare him an habitation, my father's God, chariots, they are casting the plane, all these things they were singing. Well, after all that victory, they ran into some more challenges. You know, they couldn't find water, you know, and, when they found water, it was bitter. Moses said, verse 22, he said, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out the wilderness of Shur, and went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. The first 3 days they were there, there was no water at all. You know, and then eventually found some water, but then the water, they couldn't even drink it. I mean, it was like one thing, you know, after another, you know, as if their lives were not in jeopardy already. They had no water to drink. How do you go 3 full days without water in the desert with little children and women, you know, and so forth. Well, so they started to grumble. And then he said, ah. So they came to this place called Mara and they found some water. So they thought, well, finally we found some water. But the water was poisonous. Nobody could drink it. And then they complained some more. And then Moses cried to the Lord. The Lord showed him how to fix that bitter waters. And he did. And so on and so forth. And the Lord continued to assure them that he's with them. But if you read just a little further down and get to the last verse of that chapter 15 of Exodus, you'll see that, you know, what God had prepared for them was just around the corner. You know, after all of that grumbling and everything, just around the corner. He said they came to Elim. And there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. They found, it was just like an oasis in the desert. They found a place where God had provided they could drink from the wells. They could eat from the dates on the palm tree and different things. It was a beautiful place. But it was just around the corner, but they had almost given up. And you never know that, you know, the blessing may be just around the corner. But here's what I want you to think today. When the pressure mounts up and builds up, then know that the blessing is just around the corner. Just like the woman now ready to give birth, the blessings are just around the corner. But if we go back to our story in Revelation 12, you see that even as she was trying to give birth, and she was paining to give birth, that devil, that dragon was in front of her. If I cannot prevent that baby from being born, well, then I'm going to swallow it up as soon as it is born. That's what his intentions were. That dragon, we're told that there was a wonder that appeared in heaven. This woman, that was clothed, you know, with the sun and the moon under her feet, crown of 12 stars on her head and so forth, being pregnant, traveling in birth, you know, pain to be delivered. And as she was doing it, well, the whole time, you see, there appeared another wonder in heaven. A great red dragon having 7 heads and 7 horns and, you know, so forth. He had his own crowns too. Just, you know, and colluded with a third of the angels. And he stood before the woman, was ready to be delivered. You know, his purpose was to devour the child as soon as he was born. You know, as soon as the child's born, this dragon is going to swallow him up. You know, so, and that's, you know, many things in our lives, you know, resemble that pattern. We go through a lot of struggles. There is some breakthrough just around the corner. Serious and severe trouble just before a major breakthrough. But the whole time, the devil is waiting in the wings. And even when you get that breakthrough, I'm going to devour everything. Because he's a devourer. And, you know, I'm going to steal, kill, destroy everything. It's waiting always in the wings. But in this story, he lost. And he always will lose. Praise the Lord. You know, she brought forth a man child. Spiritually speaking, you know, he will rule, that man child will rule the nations to all around, and physically too. Both spiritually and physically. And that child was cut up unto God and to his throne. You know, the devil couldn't do anything about it. The Lord cut away that child. And then, of course, he went to persecute the rest of the remnant of the woman's seed. But you can see how the picture played out. Tremendous pain just before that man-child was brought forth. And even the bringing forth the man-child attracting the powers of heaven, the negative powers of heaven, ready to devour that child. Well, the principalities. I'm not talking about the good powers of heaven. The good powers of heaven were on the child's side. But principalities and powers, the stars of heaven, the falling stars, you know, the third part of all the stars of heaven gathered together, trying to devour that child, but they couldn't do it. Praise the Lord. Now, if the pregnant woman gives up, you know, while she's pregnant, anytime in those 9 months, what's going to happen? Well, that baby will die, and the baby may never be born. Or if she makes it up all the way to through the 9th month, the third trimester, and she's right there, and because the pain is so severe, you know, I've actually seen women, unfortunately, you know, lash out at that time, their husband and so on, as if, you know, it's like the man is to blame for all the pain. I witnessed, you know, some, in one case, I was trying to help deliver the child, all the things that the woman was saying, you know, and I was like, oh my goodness, you know, and her husband wasn't even allowed in the room. Now, you know, but I mean, she got so crazy because of the pain. Didn't even remember that she said all those things afterwards. But, you know, no matter what, if you give up at that moment, that baby will never be born. Now, there may be something in your womb that you're incubating. You know, God put an idea there. And women are like that, you know, they're incubators. You know, God will put a seed in there and they incubate that seed, you know, nurture it and so forth. And it's coming out of there, you know. The story, the life stories, you know, show us a lot of lessons and learn from. But if the woman gives up, well, that baby will never be born. So you may never give up. Psalm 30 and verse 5 tells you that, you know, that blessing is just around the corner. You're going through the night struggles right now, going through those pains right now. But I guarantee you, he said that joy is coming in the morning. When that night finally breaks, you know, like I often say that the night cannot last forever. At some point, day is going to break. When that finally happens, it's joy. You know, that gloominess is past. The birth pains and various things, you know, that we are going through, you may be going through, it's an indication that God is fixing to birth something great in your life. You know, but you got to stay the course. You know, you got to stay the course. Don't give up. And don't be discouraged. Don't be distressed. Even when you face near death situations, like the disciples in the boat, or even in Acts chapter 27, there was a story of Paul and the other prisoners that were being carried, I mean, and the shipwreck and everything. And there was a statement that Paul made. You know, he said, well, you guys stay in the boat. That statement tells you that, look, if you jump ship just because there's storms around, he said, you cannot make it, he said, except these stay in the boat. They cannot be saved. You know, and they went through a lot of trouble on the seas. Now, the Lord had showed Paul that there was going to be a shipwreck on that journey. He told them, but they didn't listen, and they went forth anyway. And so, when the storm started to come, they started to offload and throw things, you know, because they were about to drown. But driven up and down and so forth, and they were, you know, trying to drown. And they kept checking it out. Are we near land? Are we near land? And so forth. And they started to try to flee out of the ship, you know. But here's what Paul said. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, Acts 27 and verse 30, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors to the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. You jump ship, it's over. Stay in the boat. That's the Lord Jesus is right there with you. Don't jump ship now, you know. And then they just cut off the boat that they were going to try to jump out of the ship with, and they let it go. Paul said, you guys stay in the boat. Stay right there. If you jump ship in the middle of the trouble that you're going through, you cannot be saved. You know, stay right there. Be determined in your heart that you're going to weather the storm. But there's something that's coming out of that storm. You know, Jesus said it himself. He said, look, you hang in right there. In the book of Luke chapter 18, you know, it's talking about men ought always to pray and not to give up. He said, well, the Lord is seeing what's going on with his elect, don't you know? He said, well, he would avenge them speedily, you know. And then verses 7 and 8 of Luke 18, Jesus said, well, even though it looks as if God's answer is tarrying, he said, well, you hang in there. It's not going to tarry long. You wait right there. God said, shall he not avenge his own elect that cry unto him day and night? You know, he said, well, he will avenge them speedily. But he now asks this question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh into that situation, finally, when he arrives, when your deliverance actually comes, you know, will he find you still at the point of faith, or would you have jumped ship? A lot of people jump ship almost at the very end. You know, I mean, they get to the point of a breaking point, they call it. But if you really think about it, it's not your breaking point, because God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And he will not allow you to be stressed or stretched or tested or tempted beyond your strength or your ability. You know, so when you think that you're at the breaking point, think again. God knows that you can do it. You can go through. Hang in there just one more day. You never know. It may be just around the corner. If you give up too soon, that baby may never be born. Now, Habakkuk tells you to hang in there, that no matter how long it takes. Habakkuk 2 and 3 said, the vision may tarry, but hang in there. It's not going to tarry too long. Just hang right in there. Don't give up. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry too long. You know, got to wait for it. You got to go through those pains and something happening. And there's a story I'm going to tell you some stuff tomorrow by the grace of God, you know, as part of this. But we must learn to know that, you know, the things that we're going through are preparing us for a birthing of something great. The pregnancy, you know, the pains, the birth pains are preparing for the birthing of something wonderful and something great. So don't you forget it. Proverbs 23 and 18 tells you, surely there is an end, well, to the pregnancy. would you imagine if somebody were pregnant for a long time? I mean, that's a weird situation. I mean, generally the pregnancy is 9 months. You know, sometimes they go plus or minus, we're told, 2 weeks here or there, maybe a little early. If they're too early, months early, we call them a premature birth. If they're many months late, well, that could be something weird going on there. You know, it reminds me of a story someplace, one place I went, a crusade one time, a woman that was 1 year pregnant. That the witch doctors had bound that pregnancy and told her that she would never give birth. she would not miscarry. She would just carry a big stomach around the rest of her life. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, but to God be the glory, by the prophetic word, she brought forth that baby before the end of that crusade, as it was told her by the Lord. But the point is, it's absurd and crazy to think that a woman just carried up pregnancy, you know, like that. There's a time for everything. A time to be pregnant, a time to have that pain during delivery, and a time for that joy to come forth. It's a time. You know, you can't carry that baby forever. And so some of us, it's like our situations are forever. It's like you've been pregnant forever. I mean, I'm talking of a woman bearing baby now. I'm talking of your situation. Something's been brewing, and it just looks like it's brewing forever. I mean, you know, but Proverbs 23 and 18 says, surely there is an end to it. I mean, that aroma and that meal that you are smelling that the Lord is cooking, I mean, there's got to be an end to it. At some point, that meal's got to be ready. And he's got to serve that meal when it's ready. You can't wait for the meal forever, but you must wait until it's ready. You can't eat the meal when it's not ready. But I guarantee you, the chef, he'll get it ready. He's just putting it all together. He's not going to cook it forever. He must be done with the cooking at some point. And then he's got to serve the meal and say, come, all things are now ready. You know, so he's cooking it right now. Can you smell it? But when it's ready, he will serve it up for you. But you must hang in there, you know. And all the things that you're going through right now, you are on the verge of something great about to happen. I'll tell you a story tomorrow, and you'll see how it'll give you even better understanding. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just say it to you this way. You know, you are on the verge of something great. Something great is about to be birthed through a process of pain and suffering that you've been experiencing. Something great about to be birthed. I'm going to pray and leave that there for now. Just think about that for a bit. And we'll talk. I want to talk about this some more tomorrow. Praise God. And we'll tell you some stories that will help you even further. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. The experiences of life, the things that we're going through, they're teaching us, you know, that there's something great just around the corner, just like the woman is going through the birth pains. Bible talks about even the whole creature going through birth pains, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We'll talk about that some more tomorrow. They're going through birth pains. And the things that we're going through in our individual lives, Lord, grant us the grace to hang in there. Jesus said, don't give up now. The Son of Man is just around the corner. Will he find you still believing? And he shows up. Your situation. I pray, Lord, that you help us. We will not fall back. Say, my soul shall have no pleasure in those that draw back unto perdition. We will not fall back. We will not look back. Remember Lot's wife. We'll keep on going and we'll keep on believing God. No matter if it appears that he's tarrying, we've been commanded and instructed to wait for it, because it won't tarry too long. It's coming. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. We know that long hope sometimes causes the heart to be weary. Make haste, O God. Make no tarrying, O our God, to help your people that are going through, in the name of Jesus. If that, you know, the birth pains get too long, you know, when people are, women are in labor for too long, it really can be a problem. Yeah, it should be timed just right. And Father, the labor pains that your children are going through, let the Lord cut it short in righteousness. Hallelujah. Let there be supernatural assistance to bring forth that baby. There's something cooking inside of you and it's coming. Praise God. Glory is coming out of the sufferings, Jesus said. The road to glory is through those sufferings. The pains, the losses, the difficulties, the challenges, and even all the things that the devil put up against us. Well, Jesus said, you know, it's going to bring forth something glorious. You know, at the moment that we are going through, the glory that is coming far exceeded, you know, the present situation. Hallelujah. Our troubles right now cannot be compared with the glory that is yet to be revealed. You know, so we'll talk about that more tomorrow. I pray, Lord, that you help us to look forward, keep our eyes on the victory that's coming rather than the storms that we're going through. And I look forward to getting to the shore. Praise the Lord. I pray for grace and for strength to everyone that the sufferings of this present time, the Bible says, cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The sufferings that you're going through right now is only an indication of the glory that is to be revealed. Praise God. And let me read one more scripture to you and we'll close it out for today. In Romans 8 and 18, Paul said, look, I reckon that the present sufferings cannot be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in us. But you got to hang in there and don't give up or give in during the trials and troubles and pain, the birth pains. You must not give up. God knows what he's doing and he will bring you out. Even the creatures are waiting. The earth is going through birth pains right now. Something great is about to happen. And the Lord will show us more to get deeper in this lesson. But today, that's it. Lord, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.